I mean, what is prayer? Prayer is not rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God. That's not prayer. I mean, prayer is this. Here's prayer. Don't miss this. Prayer is not asking God to conform to our will. Prayer is where we submit everything to Him and we conform to His will. Let me say that again. Prayer is not that we're trying to strong-arm God. I mean, He's not the cosmic Santa Claus, the divine butler, the genie in the bottle. He's not the spiritual vending machine. We just say whatever we want, and He just gives whatever we want. No, that's not how this works.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, as of late, the Lord continues to impress upon my heart that everyone around me has some element of pain. I have pain, you have pain. No matter where you are in life today, you may be very wealthy or you may be poor. You may have good health or not so good health. You may have many credentials from an educational institution, or perhaps you don't. The reality is this, is that you can't outrun pain. We all have it to some degree. And the question that we must answer is, how do we deal with our pain? Do we self-medicate? Are you right now trying to find something, anything, to dull the pain and fill your void? That's what we do as humans so often. We look for something to do just that, to take the edge off. And yet we know that it's Jesus Christ and His blood and His righteousness that sets the captives free. And we know from God's Word confidently that who the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, as we process this thought, as we go into this message today, I pray that you will be greatly encouraged. I pray that you will not be discouraged, but I pray that you will have courage infused into you. So many times it's easy to bend, buckle, and break in the midst of the challenges of life. But I pray fervently right now that as you're listening to this broadcast, that God will speak to your life in a profound way, that you'll hear His still small voice, and that you'll run hard after Him all the days of your life. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Luke chapter 9. Looking at verses 18 through 22, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, The Most Pivotal Question.
Father, we come before you today, and God, we just come confessing. We come praying. We come weeping. We come bowing. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name we give glory. Because of your mercy, because of your truth. God, I pray that today, this series of meetings will turn into a revival. God, I pray that you would do something only you can do. God, I pray that you would remove the blinders from all of our hearts, my heart, our souls, our minds. God, I pray that we would each one individually draw a circle around just us and then cry out to God, oh God, please revive the person in the circle. Awaken the person in the circle. Bring reformation to the person in the circle, God. Oh God, forgive us for not living as we should. Forgive us for living in rebellion and disobedience. Forgive us for so many times living a casual Christianity lifestyle. God, you called us to so much more, and that's to live for you. To live for the one Jesus who took our place. So God, I just pray, would you do a work today? I pray we'd be gripped by your greatness. I pray that we would yield ourselves totally to you, God. I pray right now that you would bend us and you would break us. and then reshape us into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, I pray that homes would be restored. I pray for marriages that are represented here that are faltering and failing. God, I pray that this weekend would be revival in that marriage. God, I pray for the relationships that are broken between dad and daughter and dad and son, mom and daughter and mom and son. God, I pray this weekend by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, we pray, would you just speak a word into these relationships, God. I pray for the relationships at work that are fractured and are so stressful, and for some here today are, well, they just don't want to go to work tomorrow because of that. God, I pray, would you do something fresh and new? And God, lastly, I pray, would you bring revival to this church, God? I pray that you would take this group of people, and I pray that you would set their feet on high hills, and I pray that you would use them in a mighty way to shake Florida for the glory of God. Pray that there would be this remnant right here today that would say, no, 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 as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And they go pierce the darkness boldly and confidently, because we know that where you guide, where you provide, where you lead, you feed. Oh God, do the work that only you can do. Move me out of the way. We don't want to hear from a human man. We want to hear from the man, and his name is Jesus. And so, God, do the work now. We'll be quick to give you all the praise and give you all the glory. We pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. As you're returning to your seats, take your Bibles, if you would, in this first session as we're going to dive deep into God's Word. We're going to look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 22, as we lead into revival. I believe this is one of the most pivotal texts in all of Scripture if you really want revival in your life. Because here's the reality. You can't get to revival until you get to Jesus. And you'll never experience revival unless Jesus has you. That's just the springboard thought today, is that as we dive deep into this text, that we're going to see that there's a pivotal question that everyone today has to answer. I was driving over here and I saw one of those billboards, and you probably know the one I'm talking about, and you've probably seen them around other parts of the area as well, but the billboard said that when you die, you will meet God. God's batting 100% in that department, isn't he? Like no one's going to slip by. Like here's the reality, all of us will meet God. And the most pivotal question is what Jesus addresses here. And you'll never experience revival and awakening and reformation unless you grab onto this question and answer it accordingly. Here it is in Luke chapter 9, 18. Peter's going to confess here something that's so critical. Here's what it says in my Bible. And it happened as he was alone praying. Who is he? Not a trick question. Jesus, good. By the way, like any time in church, just say Jesus and you're probably going to be right. Amen. Who turned the water into wine? Jesus. Who was born in a manger? Jesus. He was alone praying, that his disciples joined him. Very interesting. And he asked them, don't miss this. He asked them, saying, who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say that one of the old prophets that has risen again. He said to them in 20, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. In the last part of our text, Jesus is going to predict his death and his resurrection. 21 of this chapter 9. And he, Jesus, strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Don't miss that. And be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Amen? May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Here's the title I want you to write down. And by the way, in these sessions here, we're going to be together. You're going to need a pen and a piece of paper, something to write with. You're going to have a lot of scripture that you're going to need. You're going to forget this. We forget this. We only remember about 15 to 20% of what we hear. So with the potluck today, while you're eating the brownie, you know, you're going to wonder what that verse was. You're going to want to write this down. This is mission critical. If you're really serious about God, you're going to be serious about being a student of his word, because it's his word that transforms. God says this, that the grass withers and the flower fade, but the word of my God will stand forever. The message title is this: the most pivotal question. The most pivotal question. And by the way, this question that we're going to address today is a question you can't avoid. Just like that when I die, when you die, we're going to face God, we're going to have to deal with this question. And not only are you going to have to deal with it, but the people in your family are going to have to deal with it. And that's why I encourage you to get on the cell phone and start calling people. Get them to the church house here at 11 o'clock. Text them. Get them here at 6 o'clock tonight. This is very important. I believe I came expecting that God is going to do something here today. I believe it. I serve a big God. I serve the big God. And he does big things. And we believe by faith he's going to do something powerful. At a very minimum, I believe he's going to just set seeds in the ground at a minimum. That's at a minimum. But I believe we're going to see homes restored. I believe we're going to see marriages restored. I believe we're going to see relationships restored. Because I believe God is going to do something powerful. And you want to be able to say, I was there. Oh, I was there. I was there when the revival in Florida happened. In 2019, I was there. But we got to answer this pivotal question. Verse 18. And it happened as he was alone praying. I find that interesting because you kind of go all the way back in the context here and you look at early in Luke 9, Jesus has commissioned the 12 and the disciples, they're traveling from village to village, they're ministering. Then Jesus feeds the 5,000 with the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. And all of a sudden, they're in the northern part of Palestine, at the base of Mount Hermon, and here it is. He's alone praying. Jesus was praying. Oh, we started today in prayer. You've been praying now for weeks. If Jesus had to pray, if Jesus needed to pray, if Jesus wanted to pray, what should that tell you and me? I mean, what is prayer? Prayer is not rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God. That's not prayer. I mean, prayer is this. Here's prayer. Don't miss this. Prayer is not asking God to conform to our will. Prayer is where we submit everything to him and we conform to his will. Let me say that again. Prayer is not that we're trying to strong-arm God. I mean, he's not the cosmic Santa Claus, the divine butler, the genie in the bottle. He's not the spiritual vending machine. We just say whatever we want, and he just gives whatever we want. No, that's not how this works. He's a good, good father through him, the Son. And yes, what happens is that he knows what's best for his children. Just like you who are parents, you know what's best, don't you? And you don't give your children everything. That'd be insane. No, you give them what's best. And he knows what's best in my life and your life. And sometimes His answer is no. And the question, don't miss this, the question for revival and awakening and reformation in your life today is not what you do when he says yes, but what do you do when he says no? When he says no, what do you do? Do you bend? Do you buckle? Do you break? Do you throw in the towel going, it's a waste of time? Or do you go, oh man, Jesus is good. He's greatly to be praised. And sometimes he does say yes. Sometimes he says no.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
See, prayer is about dependence. Don't miss that. It's dependence. We are depending on God. When you've been praying, many of you have been praying now for weeks, and you've been just on your face, and you've been getting up early, and God's been waking you up, and you're depending on Him. Saying, Lord, I depend on You. Oh, it's not just a song, but I need Thee every hour, don't we? Every hour I need Thee. Actually, we could drill down even further. Every second I need Thee. Amen? I mean, I don't need Him just every hour. I need Him every second of every day. He's praying. He's praying. He's depending. I write this supporting verse down, 1 Corinthians 15:28. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Don't you love that? Jesus turns then here in this text, and don't miss this in verse 18. He's alone praying, and as He turns to His disciples, He asks them this intriguing question. So He's praying. We're going to paint the picture. We're going to build the block. So He's praying. He's modeling this dependence on God. He's showing that He's got to depend on God. Hypostatic union, we get that. Fully God, fully divine, amen? God incarnate. Still this body He was in without sin. And here He is praying, depending, communing. Vertical communication. And then He methodically sets up the disciples, like only Jesus can do. I love when Jesus asks questions. He just sets them up, doesn't He? And He says this, who do people, or who do the crowd say that I am? But write this down as the first key for revival in your life. Key number one, you're going to need this. This is so important, especially here in America. Key number one, often it's what others say that influences what we believe. Let me say that again. Key number one, as we're looking for revival, as we're praying, as we're communing, going vertical, key number one, often it's what others say that influence what we believe. It's amazing how easy we can be swayed, isn't it? Well, we can be swayed so easily by what other people say. But yet Scripture says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says this, do not be deceived. That word deceived in the original language can give the connotation of being seduced. Now, when I say seduced, typically, we make a blanket thought that that's some sort of sexual connotation. No, to be seduced is simply this, to be led astray. He says, do not be deceived. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and that was a perfect, holy church, wasn't it? Man, they had it going on perfectly, didn't they? No. Man, they had temple prostitutes. They had a whole bunch of issues, didn't they? And so Paul is here giving them the word, and he's saying, look, do not be deluded. Do not be led astray. Do not be seduced. And then he says these words, bad or evil company corrupts. What a great verse. Maybe some of your moms or grandmas or dads would say something like this. If you hang out in the garbage, you begin to smell like the garbage, right? It's amazing who we hang around with, who can begin to influence us. That's why God in His Word talks about how gossip is such a hated sin. It's a hated sin. It sows discord. It breeds poison and toxins throughout the body of Christ, throughout marriages and homes and businesses and teams. You want to hang out with people that are in God's Word, that are diving deep. You want to hang out with people that want revival. There's something about revival that it's like a fire. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but typically a fire starts from one spark. I think revival's the same way. It takes one person, one man, one woman, one student that says, here am I, send me. I mean, I'll do this. I'll go win Florida for your glory, God. I'll go stand on the wall and take the arrows. I'll do it. Evil company corrupts and we can be deceived. Proverbs 11:14, if you're not in the book of Proverbs and you want revival, that's going to be a struggle if you're not in the book of Proverbs. Here's my challenge for you going forth. Be in the book of Proverbs every day, month after month after month. 31 chapters, today's Proverbs 31. Tomorrow you're going to read Proverbs. The school teacher came through. Praise Jesus. Amen. You're going to read Proverbs 1. And then guess what on April 2nd? 2. And you're going to repeat it May 1st and May 2nd and June 1st. And you're going to go, wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going to read the same stuff over and over. Yes. And it's going to radically rock your world. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your home because it's wisdom literature. It's wisdom. And I need wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all have challenges and questions and decisions we're going to make day after day after day after day. We got to be in God's Word. If you're getting your information from the news, from the television, you're going to operate according to that lens. If you get your information and your truth from God's Word, you're going to operate according to that lens. And that is so pivotal. We live in a culture, as you know, I don't have to tell you this, we're living in a culture that is radically, radically declining spiritually by the day. Matter of fact, they just released a study here recently, and they've been doing this study since I think around 1972. They've been tracking the evangelicals. They've been tracking the nuns. The nuns are those that don't have any religious affiliation. And so from this 72 era, here goes the evangelicals doing this downward. And guess what the nuns have been doing? Starting down here and they're going upward. Matter of fact, they crisscrossed in 2018. We're in trouble. And we can no longer afford to sit back and just like, hey, we're here at church. Church is not an event. Church is not something you do. The church, for you that are saved in the room, is who you are. I say this often, so I'm not throwing stones, but we'll say, I'm going to go to church, right? There's no malicious intent in that. But maybe we should start thinking, maybe I should start thinking about that a little more deeply. I'm going to go to the building, yes, true. But the body of believers, why do we gather? What's the point of it? Well, we know that God loves his bride. Jesus loves that bride, doesn't he? The church. We must be on mission for revival. I made a note here. I said this, that be sure that your counselors are tethered to God's word. Bad counsel can still send you off a cliff. Make sure the counselors, the multitude of counselors that Proverbs talks about, make sure they're in God's word. Surround yourself with people that are diving deep into the truths and mining the scriptures and writing on the tablet of their hearts. That's how revival begins to happen. Look at verse 19. So they answered and said, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. John the Baptist, boy, he was kind of a unique guy, wasn't he? You could say he was a little eccentric, perhaps. Here he is plowing through the wilderness with this great message. People are rejecting him. He wears funny clothes, eats funny things. And yet he was the forerunner, wasn't he? He's the forerunner to the King, Christ himself. And so some, you can argue through other texts that, yeah, they think that he's dead. Obviously, he is dead. And, okay, Jesus, they think that you're John the Baptist kind of reincarnated, so to speak. Well, we know that not to be true. Others claim there that Elijah or another prophet. See, that's why we got to make a note of key number two here, church family. Write this down, key number two for revival. Key number two, just because everyone arrives at the same conclusion, this does not mean that it's right, period.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.